Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Sound Synchronicity on Now Time Radio.
All aboard!
From the East, House of Light, may wisdom dawn in us, so we may see all things in clarity. From the North, House of Night, may wisdom ripen in us, so we may see all from within. From the West, House of Transformation, may wisdom be transformed into right action, so we may do what must be done. south, house of the eternal sun. May right action reap the harvest, so we may enjoy the fruits of planetary being. Above, house of heaven, where star people and ancestors gather, may their blessings come to us now. Below, house of earth, may the heartbeat of her crystal core bless us with harmonies to end all war. From the center, galactic source, which is everywhere at once, may everything be known as the light of mutual love. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Maho. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Maho. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya. A ma ho.
In Lakesh, everyone listening all around the planet this evening, welcome to Sound Synchronicity on Now Time Radio. My name is Makua Ray. I am your host and navigator for the show this evening. I'm so grateful for you to join us from wherever you may be. I physically happen to be in the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia. This is truly an amazing city, even in the cold of winter. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and certainly a very clean city, I have to say. I've been to a lot of places around the world, and this is one of the cleanest cities that I've actually ever visited. And the people are wonderful, as far as those whom I've had the opportunity to meet and get to know a little bit. So it's wonderful to be here. Certainly a reunion of sorts, as there are a number of comrades and colleagues on the spiritual path that I've had the chance to connect with here as I've come to Vancouver in the recent day. I'm very excited to welcome you to the show this evening because we have two really incredible guests tonight, and it's quite a fitting energy as we are in today, which is known as Yellow Overtone Star. And the two women that we have on the show this evening are definitely personifications of the Yellow Star energy, Venus themselves. And the Kin energy for today, in fact, reads, I empower in order to beautify, commanding art. I seal the store of elegance with the overtone tone of radiance. I am guided by the power of intelligence. I am a galactic activation portal, truth, beauty, love, honor, creativity, enter me. So that's how we're going to put it out there for this evening's show. Again, it's just a wonderful blessing to have this format of internet radio through which we can share this energy. And in the spirit of beauty, in the spirit of this emerging consciousness on the planet, I want to go ahead and play a very special musical number, one of my favorite songs, in fact, from a group from the Baltimore area known as Fertile Ground. And this song is entitled Star People. I think this really, really says it specifically as it relates to the energy today of Overtone Star, of the energy of these powerful, dynamic women who are going to be on the show with us this evening. And certainly wishing everybody out there increased creativity, prosperity, beauty in their lives. So with that, I want you to enjoy this song, Star People, from Fertile Ground. Indeed, star people, come down. We are awaiting for your presence to be with us even now. And that's certainly what this show is about the recognition of our relationship with all that is upon this sacred earth and beyond. That song, again, is from a group called Fertile Ground. Our good sister, Navasha Dea, on the lead vocals. What a beautiful song, and very fitting for tonight's show. So with that, we give thanks, absolutely. And as I said, today happens to be Ken 148, Yellow Overtone Star. And an amazing synchronicity I just only discovered a few moments ago is that our first guest this evening is actually a Yellow Overtone Star. Neither one of us knew that, actually, in going into the show tonight, but it certainly tells us that we're on the right path and that things are supported, certainly upon this earth and beyond. So it's a true blessing. Minister Mahatra, Three Buffaloes Woman, is the granddaughter of the late Mountain Eagle Woman. She is the 11th generation to carry on the legacy of the sacred medicine of the Choctaw Nation. Minister Mahatra is also the co-founder of the Temple of Atma and a spiritual life coach. After spending many, many years as a secret alchemist, she has been guided to now share her gifts with the collective, as well as build the first metaphysical learning center for children. This school is intended to provide a safe and nurturing place for children with special abilities to learn how to master their gifts. So with that, I would like to welcome our good friend, Minister Mahatra, Three Buffaloes Woman, to Sound Synchronicity. In Lakesh, and welcome.
Thank you, Hanito. How are you?
Oh, I'm so blessed and so grateful So grateful to have you on the show this evening. So thank you so much.
I'm really excited. <laughs> Taking
the time out to be with us. I know that we've attempted to get you on the show in the past, and due to my travels and my schedule, things had not quite worked out. But I have to tell you, discovering your galactic signature as the yellow overtone star, which happens to be the signature for today, I realized that things had to happen the way they have. So I'm so grateful to see and to bear witness to the beauty of synchronicity in action. So welcome to the show. So, you know, I don't even really know where to begin. I mean, you and I have known each other for some years now, and I've had the wonderful fortune of knowing both your grandmother very briefly, as well as your mother and your sister and yourself and your brothers and your children. I mean, you know, it's definitely a family affair, truly a whole metakoyasi. So we give thanks for the opportunity for you to come forth as you've been emerging in your own gifts and your own path to purpose, and sharing your deep connection with spirit as a way to facilitate other people being healed and being encouraged to step into the light of their own personal power. And so I'm very excited, just because I've had a chance, you know, on the periphery to watch and witness some of your personal evolution, and as you've been moving more into the expression of your life purpose, I have to say it's just a wonderful thing to behold. And I'm so blessed to know that you're living that path, and you're right on time with it, obviously, right on time. Here we are, yellow overtone star. So tell us a little bit about Three Buffaloes Woman. In fact, give our listeners an idea of the origin of your name.
Okay, well, we were raised, I guess that's probably the first place to start a little bit of my upbringing. We were raised in the city, in Baltimore City, but we weren't actually raised as Americans. We were raised in an extremely indigenous life. And my mother and my grandmother were very, very adamant about making sure that the practices and the traditions were carried on, even though there was a lot of American, you know, influence in our life. When I was 14, I was 13, and I told my mom I wanted to go on Vision Quest, which is the process of going into the mountains for several days by yourself and praying for a vision to bring forth to the people. And it takes a year to plan and prepare for that. So I got about 3 jobs so I could, you know, offset some of the cost. And so when I was 14, I went on Vision Quest, and we actually went to Kentucky. And our medicine carrier for our family, our medicine man for our family, Gilly Running, from the Rosebud Reservation, he actually did my Vision Quest for me, my medicine carrier for the Vision Quest. And during that time is actually when the name developed. It was during the process, I guess, from beginning to end, Three Buffaloes appeared in kind of random places, like in the shape of the leaves in the trees, the rocks in the sweat lodge, and I think in a dream as well. And so by the time the Vision Quest was over, the name that I was given was Three Buffaloes Woman, except I was 14, and the name was, like, really intense and really strong, and not one that I could actually carry at 14 years old. So it was a name that was just held until I became a woman in my 20s. So that's where the process started very, very early for us.
Indeed. Well, certainly knowing the family through which you have come to be, there's certainly a very strong legacy for people in the D.C., Virginia area, and throughout the spiritual community in Turtle Island. Many people do know of your grandmother, Mountain Eagle Woman, and yeah. certainly know the foundation that she laid for, you know, you as well, obviously, as your mother, Wapishea Walks on Water, formerly known as Natasha Hummingbird. So as we understand that we do go through these name changes, essentially, and there are things that we do have to grow into, that we have to evolve to be able to, as you say, to carry the importance and the responsibility that comes with such incredible power and potency in names like this. So that's truly a blessing to understand that. Now, as you are now a woman and a mother yourself, one of the things that I'm very, very interested in is the work that you're doing with co-founding the Temple of Atma. It's very powerful, and I know this is relatively a new experience for you. Is this correct?
It is. It is. when I was growing up, a lot of what I'm doing now is what I've always been able to do. It's just that I prefer to kind of stand in the background and not be, you know, really be known or heard. I just, you know, my mom and my grandmother, you know, and my sister all had it, you know, completely under control. So I was just like, oh, you know, I'll just do something else, like go to culinary school. and so it did so happen that Spirit did decide that it was time for me to start to physically walk this walk, you know, and to physically put myself in place to just bring, I guess, information. I guess the transition was really interesting because it wasn't one that I would have said, you know, like, hey, I want to do that. You know, if you don't really know how, you know, like to be young and like in your 30s or, you know, at that point, like a teenager, like how do you, you know, like be a medicine carrier, you know, like 1995, you know. So the process was, it was, you know, it was a beautiful transition the way it happened. I'm really, really, really excited, excuse me, for the opening and the way it just blossomed. So, yes, the Temple of Atma is fairly new. What the Temple of Atma represents is not, it's, you know, old from the beginning of the time. It's the universal balance, which is, you know, everything from the sun rising and the sun setting to the relationship of men and women, you know, to restore the universal balance. So when that was brought in, there was a lot of different elements to that, you know, from doing like workshops to classes to ceremonies offered through the Temple of Atma. And then more recently, it came to be that the Metaphysical Learning Center surfaced or manifested, you know. So that's, you know, another element of the Temple of Atma that we're working on now.
Okay. Now, that's a center that is intended to help children grow into their spiritual gifts. Is this correct?
Yeah. I was born with really unique, fun abilities. And outside of my family, I wasn't really aware that, you know, people had gifts like that. But I mean, if they did, no one was really, really talking about it at the time. You know, just privately within myself and my family, I just kind of practiced and worked on my own gifts. And when I was about 13, I started to develop interdimensional dreaming, where I would just go to sleep and whatever happened in the dream state would be, you know, if I was like running through mud in a dream reality, I would wake up covered in mud, you know. Yeah, so that started happening when I was about 13. And it's just been, you know, an ongoing developing process. Every time I start, you know, getting a grip on one gift or ability, that another one kind of manifests itself out of that. And when I started having, yeah, it's great fun. When I started to say the least, right?
Fun, yeah, that's a good way to call it.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, when I started having children, I noticed that my daughters have those same gifts, and so they actually can very clearly see what you're thinking, you know, very clearly, and they'll come and question you about it, like whenever they feel like it. So I homeschool them, and it's part of their curriculum to learn how to understand that. My younger daughter sees animal spirits, and my older daughter sees like more human spirits. But both of them can definitely tap into your energy and get into your mind and just start questioning you about anything. And so part of their curriculum is to learn how to understand, to balance that, you know, because you can't say everything that someone's thinking, you know. People have, you know, have that privacy space for a reason. And so my daughter said that she wanted to go to school, and, you know, in public school. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, I can't send you to public school, you know, reading your teacher's mind and seeing spirits walking all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
Oh, man, they're completely freaked out. So I went in the temple, and I was just praying on it just to see. And what came up was that, you know, we should open a school, you know, for children, because it's not my children. It's children everywhere. And a lot of parents are not really understanding what that is, you know, or how to deal with it or how to relate to it. And that this school would be so beneficial for so many children and so many families to understand how, you know, to nurture this process. Because it can, you know, when you know things are going to happen before they happen, or you get very angry and you see your anger can break things or things like that, you know, that can be very terrifying as a child to not understand why that's happening. So the school would allow children to come and make peace with that and to master it, and then to learn how is it used, you know, for the collective. How do we heal the nation, you know, with these type of gifts and abilities? So
absolutely. Well, I would certainly imagine many parents out there are being challenged with that very thing, wondering how to best facilitate the spiritual and holistic development of these children, because higher intelligence is manifesting on the planet as and through these young people. And obviously when they become born here and then attempt to integrate into a society and a culture that has not yet evolved to really embrace them or to even understand why they're manifesting here now, then that's certainly something that we need to find new ways to nurture these children, because it's very important that they're encouraged, you know, that
right.
These gifts are allowed to flourish, because I know with so many, you know, myself included, and people of our generation, you know, as we are among some of the, I guess, evolved beings as well who've come here, we've sort of been met with this brick wall as it relates to society and finding greater understanding. So it's a really remarkable and noble thing to certainly develop a learning center that will help these young people. That's tremendously important. Now, with the metaphysical center itself, where is this to be located?
We are still looking for properties, because it would need to, well, the intention is for it to be on about 150 acres of land.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still looking for a space that would accommodate that, because part of the center, it will be a center for the children, but it will also be a center for grown-ups. You know, it would be like, you know, a separate building where parents and adults will be able to learn how to understand how to parent these special type of beings, because the old ways of like the hooping, hollering, screaming, yelling, beating switches, you know, that's like a piece of the past. And to discipline these beings that are so highly evolved, you know, it's almost like, you know, downgrading them. You know, it doesn't do any good for their spirit at all. So, and I know a lot of people, you know, as we've been talking about this, people's concern is, you know, how can I get, you know, to the school? You know, well, if it's way out there, you know, and I live here. And part of the other process that we wanted to have on the school facilities was housing, family housing, so that you can, you wouldn't have to, you know, go to the school and then be in a completely spiritual environment and then go back out into, you know, the electricity, the formaldehyde walls. You know, you would actually...
Oh, no.
Right. You know, you would be in a safe spiritual environment that would cater to you parenting and developing as a enlightened spiritual being as a whole, you and your family. So we're still working on it. At the particular time at the moment, if people needed assistance with their children or with their selves, any spiritual assistance, we do that at Mountain Eagle Place and through the Temple of Atma. But we're still looking, you know, for a location because of the amount of land that we actually need to, you know, start to build on.
Exactly, exactly. And for the listeners, Mountain Eagle Place is the land that your grandmother purchased many years ago, yes, and it continues to remain in your family as a place for spiritual development. I know that I've had the pleasure of being there a number of times for a sweat lodge ceremony and have certainly felt the potency of the land, excuse me, there. And I know that, you know, that is definitely a very important place that does exist right now. So as listeners may be more interested in discovering more about your work, it is definitely important to note that Mountain Eagle Place does exist. It's been thriving over the years, and it continues to be a wonderful location for a deeper spiritual work, such as what we're talking about right now. I wanted to shift a little bit, though, in the direction of talking about also something you provide as a spiritual life coach. I think that that's very important because many people right now are being caused to really examine their lives, their choices of career, choices of relationship, and really look more deeply at the direction their lives are taking. So how long have you been doing the spiritual life coaching service?
The spiritual life coaching, I would say, that particular name of it is fairly new, probably just for about a year. One of the things, the gifts that I have, the interdimensional dreaming is one of them. But the other one I was born with and I knew very, very early is when I would always know things about people. I always knew people. And as, you know, being 6 and 7, that, you know, can be a little terrifying to be able to see, you know, into people's lives. Not so much as, you know, like the reading their thoughts, but I just, like, knew their life, you know, just from meeting them. It took me a while to understand how to operate that gift because, you know, when you see things in people, you, especially if they're not things that you would, say would be good, you would immediately, you know, start to judge. You'll be like, oh, my God, I can't believe somebody would do that. I can't believe you would think that. And so as I started to get more into it and practicing and more ceremony and more into the work and then, you know, also working with other enlightened beings or other, I guess, spirit beings, I was able to look, you know, be able to see people, but then be able to continue to see them without the element of judging, you know. So if there was something that someone did that wasn't in agreement to me, it was none of my business. You know, I didn't hold that against them. I would continue. And that was a really, I had to get that under control first before I could really present myself to the collective as a spiritual life coach, because part of the process of the spiritual life coaching is what I do is with the permission of the person that I'm servicing, I will link myself into their existence. So I attach myself to their being. And if they're having a health issue or a relationship issue or a sexual issue, I connect into their body, not so much the physical body, but the spiritual element, and find out information that is not clear to them. And then I connect with, like, their higher God consciousness, their angels, their ancestors, and, you know, my angels, my ancestors, my higher God consciousness links in, and they have, like, a conversation, you know, on what
okay.
would be the best, yeah, the best direction for this particular being to go and to get the most out of their life or their walk, their earth walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll come out of that situation. Most of the time, I have to write it down because I can't usually remember once I'm disconnected from that space. And then, you know, I'll let the person know what has been said. But, you know, that process, it's taken a while. I'm 30 now, and so it's been about 30, you know, 29 years of learning how to understand that process and being in a complete space of non-judgment and just very easy and allowing free will to come in to play, you know, and not to be attached to anything that I see or any information that I'm given. It's just what it is. And then when the conversation is finished, you know, I go back and work with my children and they keep showing. So it's been a long process, but open to the collective as something that I offer or I bring. It's only been about a year.
Okay. Well, I want to be sure that listeners know to visit your website, which is quite beautiful, by the way. I love the color of it especially.
Thank you.
That is Temple of Atma, ATMA.com. So again, www.templeofatma.com. And it also appears here that you have a Facebook page that people can go visit and like as well to learn more, to get more information, Temple of Atma, because I would certainly want to encourage people that are seeking a deeper insight to the things, as you've mentioned, whether it be relationships or just the general direction of life purpose, if they would like greater facilitation from somebody who has deeper spiritual capacities and these gifts, then it's certainly important. You were going to say something?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, and also through the Temple of Atma Facebook page, we will be uploading interviews that I'll be doing weekly that will talk a lot about the work that I do, understanding metaphysics, children with these types of gifts. So it'll be like weekly interviews that will be uploaded that talk about every element that you can possibly imagine, you know, spirituality to ceremony to sexuality, the whole thing. So by linking, you know, or I guess you have to click like the like button for the Temple of Atma on Facebook, we'll be able to share those interviews and those links with people.
Oh, that's remarkable. And also, are there upcoming events in the springtime at Mountain Eagle Place? Is anything being planned?
It is. We are going to have something in the spring, right around the end of March, if I'm not mistaken. I'm still working with my mother for those details. But mm-hmm. we will be having a ceremony on the land. And so it will be where we'll welcome people to come. We'll feed them. We'll do work with, like, giving back to the land, and then we'll have a couple ceremonies that weekend as well. So that will we'll probably send out an invite, or so if, you know, if anybody, you know, signs up for the mailing list or contacts us through the Mountain Eagle Place website, which is www.mountaineagleplace.com. And then we'll have their information.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, definitely keep me posted so I can certainly announce things that are of a public nature. We'll certainly be happy to use the radio show to let people know because we do have listeners in the D.C. area, as well as all over the world, but you never know, people may be just drawn of their heart, of their spirit, to come and participate. And I just definitely want to say that it's highly encouraged when there is a public opportunity to come to that land. It's very, very sacred ground. And I've had personal and very auspicious experiences there with you and your family over the past several years. So it's a real blessing. In fact, I know the last time that I was there with you all happened to be on 11/11/11, when
yeah.
I called you sort of out of the blue to find out what you all were doing for that auspicious date. And it turned out you needed a fire keeper. And that was
yeah.
a remarkable blessing for me to be there and to participate on that date in particular in such a meaningful way. So I definitely want to thank you again for that opportunity. And again, I want to encourage our listeners. Oh, no doubt. You know how it is, you know, and it's always a blessing. We're always where we're supposed to be. And also, speaking of auspicious events from 11/11/11, I want you to stay on the line with us if you have the time, because we do have Audrey Scott Williams, who's been in the queue listening in, and we're going to play a little bit of music. But when I come back from the music break, she's going to speak about the Grandmothers of the Four Directions sacred reading for the year 2012. I'm excited to hear about this because obviously the timing is so powerful, and there's so much going on and happening for all of us that I'm very, very excited about the guidance that is coming forth from her spirit guides as well. And I just think it's so remarkable that so many powerful and guided women are stepping into the light, are no longer, you know, sort of playing the role of standing back, but really standing in their power. And that's a special blessing for me to have the opportunity to witness that in so many amazing, incredible women. So I think it's just remarkable that both of you are on the show today at the same time. Excuse me again. So what I'd like to do, again, is encourage people to visit the website, templeofatma.com, as well as mountaineagleplace.com. Now, is that mountain as in the whole word spelled out?
Yeah.
Okay, mountaineagleplace.com. Temple of Atma is where people can discover more about your work, Minister Mahatra. So thank you so much for that. And I'm very excited to hear how things develop with the Temple of Atma Metaphysical Learning Center for Children and Families.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's important too. And,
right.
You know, because I realize now as an adult, obviously as a child, had I had more of an outlet in place where I could have developed my spiritual gifts more, it would have been incredible. We're certainly blessed with what we do have, but we definitely want to make sure we create environments and spaces for the children who are now arriving on the planet. And your daughters are both very, very powerful beings themselves. If I've had the chance to hang out with them and meet them, they are remarkable. And you can get the sense that they have a deeper awareness than what's on the surface as you're in their presence. You can get the sense that, okay, this person sees all types of things within me, around me, and the like. And they're just really, really beautiful, beautiful little Buddhas, as I like to refer to these children who come here and are so on point. They're really, really remarkable. And you're doing a wonderful job as a mother. So thank you so much for everything you do. And absolutely. And I certainly say it because I see it and I feel it. And I know that you come, again, from a strong lineage of mothers, grandmothers, who themselves have done an incredible job with you and your family. So thank you all so much for that. If you wouldn't mind just hanging on the line, I'm going to play a song. Speaking of the metaphysical dreams and the interdimensional dreamer, there's a Baltimore artist named Carolyn Malachi. Maybe you've heard of her. She's a Grammy-nominated artist. And one of my favorite songs from her, in fact, is entitled Beautiful Dreamer. And this song actually serves to encourage children especially, but everybody, because we're all a child to somebody, if not a physical person, certainly to the Most High. And this song is very powerful as it encourages children and people to live their dreams, to truly make their dreams manifest. So with that, I want to thank you again for being a guest on Sound Synchronicity.
Thank you.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And I look forward to learning more about these developments as they unfold. This is quite a very special year. And certainly your time to shine as you are a Yellow Overtone star on the Yellow Overtone Star Day. So thank you for the auspiciousness. In fact, Audrey, if I'm not mistaken, is a Yellow Overtone warrior. So both of you are the yellow direction of the South, of ripening, the ripening of the gifts. And the overtone tone, the fifth tone, which is a tone of empowerment, of commanding presence and radiance. So there's something to that. So I want to certainly thank you and enjoy this song entitled Beautiful Dreamer. Thank you, listeners. You are tuned in to Sound Synchronicity on Now Time Radio. Stay tuned.
Somewhere there's a nothing waiting to become something, fighting all the writing, hiding from the lightning. We are in the suburbs, racing to red lights, having close encounters far away. Thank you.
You are listening to Sound Synchronicity with Makua 9 Kimi Ray.
Yes, and welcome back to Sound Synchronicity on Now Time Radio. That was the Grammy-nominated artist from the Baltimore, D.C. area, Carolyn Malachi, and the song entitled Beautiful Dreamer. How fitting for the occasion. And it's my honor to welcome to Sound Synchronicity the founder of Now Time Radio, in fact, Audrey Scott Williams. In Lakesh, and greetings, Mama Audrey.
Greetings and love to you, Makua, and all those out there in the ether who are tuned in to this vibration that you're creating here tonight. So thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was very inspired to invite you to be on the show, as I know that annually you receive insight from your guides, whom you refer to as the grandmothers of the four directions, and they offer each year a reading for the year. And I know from past experience, the readings are always quite poignant and very, very powerful, very important, and provide much deep insight into what we can expect over the course of the time to come. So with that, I would just certainly like to open it up to you and just find out what you've been up to a little bit lately. I know for many of our listeners, they know, but for those who don't know, you are an author as well as a mother, a grandmother, a teacher, one who has also walked all over the world for the past 10 years in different installments of peace walks. And the most recent one that you all embarked on was a 13-month walk that actually ended on that auspicious date, 11-11-11. And now you are down in the fine state of Alabama, indeed, and you are there doing some important work, of course, as the work continues with the Quantum Leap Transformational Center. So I would just like to open it up to you to share, as the grandmothers guide you to share, what it is that listeners would want to pay attention to.
Yes, well, thank you, Makua, and it certainly has been quite a ride since we got back on 11-11. And we keep saying we're going to go slow, and yet riding the waves of energy here, we find ourselves accelerated, but at the same time accelerated in a slow pace physically, but accelerated tremendously in the creative essence of the universe. That certainly is the energy right now. This is a time of creation. It's a time of tapping into the creative spirit of each of us, because that is what we're here for now, to create, to be the God force or God essence manifesting in a way that allows humanity's conscious to elevate. And I want to go into that. You know, often when people ask me, Makua, about the readings for the year, the readings that usually come forward are, it takes almost the rest of the year for me to figure out really what the grandmothers were saying. And that's how loaded what they say is. You know, sometimes people want to take it literally, but you have to take it literally on one hand, but then you have to really work with almost every word or every phrase to truly understand what they're talking about. Just as the Diary of Now Time prophecy is actually a cosmic riddle. And it's taken me 10 years to work out, I would say, maybe 80% of that cosmic riddle. So having said that, I'd like to touch on tonight. I'd like to just say, too, Makua, as we talk about the reading and as I go into the energy of that, you know what happens. I fade out, the grandmothers fade in, so this is really their form. One of the things in the Diary of Now Time prophecy that they spoke about In fact, it was a picture that was given after the book was finished, and then I was guided to put it in the Diary of Now Time Prophecy, and it was a spun cube. And, in fact, they make reference throughout Diary of Now Time Prophecy that the earth is really more like a cube than a sphere, but when the cube spins, it gives the presence of a circle or a sphere. And so I've wondered about that for the last 10 years, you know, how could that be? And one of the things they said that was very important about a spun cube is that the energy that drives the cube, the spin of the cube, shifts with the ages. In other words, you know, we're in this cycle of light now. And so as the cube is entering this cycle of life, or light, it literally is in it already, what happens is the light reveals more about the cube than what we may have been able to discover before. So if you think about it in relation to one dimension, two dimensions, three dimensions, and beyond, you might go back to the early Europeans who thought the world was flat. Well, that was sort of a one-dimensional aspect of a cube, right? Or really of a square. And then the square has evolved now till you get to third dimension, and now even fourth, fifth dimension reality with this cube. So you're looking at sort of a tetrahedron and beyond. I mean, you're even talking about an eight-sided cube back to where the grandmother said. Now, the only reason I wanted to bring this forward is I want you to hold that one moment. So we're talking about a spun cube, the earth being the spun cube. Now, what that means in terms of the physical body, and I'm going through some really technical stuff fast, but that's the flow. What it means in terms of the physical body is our individual molecular structure, or the cells of our body, the at the DNA, at, you know, atomic level, mirrors the earth. So therefore, the energy within us at a subatomic level is also rotating as a spun cube. Now, so we have this spun cube. Just keep that aside. The other thing is that the galaxy, our galaxy, has been lining up with the central sun. It happens every 26,000 years, so there's not a lot of mystery about it. Very similar kinds of things. Each time we move into this incredible array of light, we have an opportunity to evolve. What's unique about this particular alignment is it's not only we're coming to an end of another 26,000-year cycle or beginning of a new one, but we're also coming to the end of a 314,000-year cycle. And so not only is our central sun aligning with the central sun of our galaxy, if you will, it also is aligning with the central star of the universe itself. All right? So now you have this influx of light into what we were talking about before, the spun cube. Now, as that light comes into the spun cube, into the earth, into our very cellular structure, what happens is that light then reveals more about life, more about the essence of life. So now we're looking at life at a very sub-level. We get into the quantum exploration of life now, okay? And so at this quantum level, we're now beginning to come in touch with the essence of creation as it is manifesting in us. And it serves then as the reminder, the remembering, the pulling all the pieces back together of who we are as the expression of the essence of creation rather than the dominion over creation. Does that make sense? Think you're there or not there? Okay, so.
Oh, no. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Now,
I'm here.
spun cue, and this is really important. With the spun cue, you think of a diamond, you know, carbon-based is what this planet is. It's carbon-based. But where does the carbon come from? It comes from the stars. It comes from the universe. So that you can date, right now they can date carbon from the stars. They can date it from the earth. They can date it from life, all right, from just, I mean, like us as human beings and other forms of life. And each one has sort of its own signature, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you hear people say we're moving from carbon to crystalline. And it's very important to understand that the crystalline, carbon is crystal, all right? It, like, for instance, take a diamond, one of the most precious crystals that we have, comes from a combination of four carbon elements, all right? And then these can combine in all kinds of ways. I talked about tetrahedrons, which is the base format of many diamonds, but there are others as well, eight-sided ones that I spoke about in relationship to the spun cube. Now, the only reason I brought the diamond forward is because the diamond is the hologram.
Mm.
With me? The diamond is the geometric hologram. It is the window to the universe, and it is a carbon-based crystal. It is one of the finest, most precious diamonds, and it is not rare. You know, from a business standpoint, it was very hard at one time to get diamonds, and so they became so expensive and lots of exploitation and so forth in this whole diamond mining thing. But diamonds are all over the earth, and we've just developed the technology to access it. But there's a decided interest in keeping the diamond recognized as a very rare thing. But in fact, throughout the mantle of the earth, there's diamonds. So why is that important? A diamond is the holographic link to the cosmos. That means then we are now at a quantum level. And this is what the grandmothers are talking about in this particular reading. At a quantum level now, then we are now awakening to the spun cube slowing down, and we can see these pathways in the diamond. We can see the clean breaks in the diamonds are opening up to us, if you will. And in that, we access our gateways to higher dimensions. We can literally travel through those openings into higher levels of consciousness with the likelihood of being able to sustain it. And that's what makes this year different than previous years on this now time journey for me. Before, it was about us getting to this point. Can we create consciousness, a mass consciousness? Can we get that 1% of the population to come into alignment with this consciousness of unity, all right? Can we get this unified field of consciousness strong enough to hold? Well, now what the grandmothers are saying is we've already gotten there. What's crucial now is to go to 1.25, where then what we have achieved can now be put into form, all right? So higher level consciousness isn't enough in and of itself. That consciousness now has to drive our processes, our systems, our relationships, and how we are as creative beings here who are solely here to create and manifest in all of the duplicity, multiplicity, diversity of the creator. So let me stop there for a moment, Makua, find out if you have any specific questions, because believe me, they can go on and on.
Well, I would say it's quite remarkable. Synchronicities abound. I was in a coffee shop yesterday doing some creative work, some production work, and a young woman was doing, origami, working with paper and creating different designs, and she and her friend were making some paper cranes. And I said, oh, that's really beautiful. It was really nice to see. And then about 30 minutes later, before they left, the young man who was with her came to the table and handed me an origami tetrahedron. So the very design that you're speaking of, in fact, the tetrahedron and the eight-sided cube, or this I mean, advanced geometric figure in paper form. I thought it was quite interesting that they would hand that to me. And then you're speaking of what you're talking about now. And also, as you're speaking of the cubing or the cube aspect of the Earth, this definitely relates to a lot of the information that Jose Arguelles has been transmitting through his literature over the past several years regarding the shift, or what's referred to as the biosphere to noosphere transition that we're now actually experiencing as the Earth becomes conscious of itself. And there's this opportunity for us as humanity to synchronize our consciousness with the Earth's consciousness. And so it's very interesting because a lot of the teachings from the Foundation for the Law of Time relate to something known as the cubing of the Earth, which is very interesting. And it's understood that at the core of the Earth is crystalline. So everything you're saying, I'm seeing a definite reflection in a lot that I've been studying, by the way, of Jose Arguelles' teachings on somewhat considered an advanced level. I mean, initially, people generally get into the information they may learn about their galactic signature, which has to do more with a person's individual purpose. But what you're speaking of is us actually having a greater appreciation for the quantum nature of this Earth and what's actually happening to us in consciousness. I mean, it's a really fascinating thing. So everything you're saying, I find to be somewhat reflected in that area of knowledge as well. I think it's really remarkable that there's a universal thread, a continuum happening here. So I'm very excited to learn more about what the grandmothers have to say.
Well, you know, one of the things that they say is, just to acknowledge you, is that truth always is repetitive in all things. So when you're at a level of absolute truth, you find that truth reflected and sort of cosigned.
like the origami at the coffee shop. I mean,
exactly,
come on.
Exactly. I want to make sure I mention this, Makua, is that at a quantum level, which is really the level at which we're operating now, and I don't like to say we're shifting, but you know, from the grandmother standpoint, we have ascended. That's not a question. The only thing that is a question is our remembrance. You know, this is the time of remembering that. But where that places us and all that we've talked about is at a quantum level, when you're talking about, in the reference of the grandmothers, a unified field of consciousness, when you get to a quantum level of understanding the world, everything that is before us, that's the place at which there is absolutely no separation, none. So at that point, you can't even reference life in categories. It doesn't work that way because if you talk about the Earth, you talk about people, you talk about plants, you talk about the cosmos, at a quantum level, it's all the same. It's all energy in motion. It's just that it's all moving at different speeds, different velocities, and so forth. And having different, or I should say, varying degrees of light either reflected in or out of it that gives us an appearance, especially at the third dimensional level that most of our world functions at now, gives it the appearance of form a certain way. But, you know, we're shifting. We're bridging over from third, fourth, you know, into the fifth dimension. And as we're doing that, at a quantum level, the structures, the precepts around what we look like and what we feel like and all of that is going to blur. It's going to blur. Just as when information technologies came, you know, have gotten to the point now where you can sit at a computer and you can work a multiple number of tasks all over the world all at one time. So it's blown the whole idea of you know, division by boundaries. It's even changing the whole concept of nationhood. All right? So at one level, we are shifting. It's the same thing that's happening in our field right now, except that we haven't yet put the language to it to really help us to mentally construct what this is. And that's an incredible place to be. At a quantum level, there is absolutely no separation. So what that will require us to do, and I know you have to call the time here, but what that will require us to do is to begin to rethink everything. And it's not even like a mental thought. You know, before we would observe something, and then we have all, you know, the labels around it, and then we give it a name, we give it a whatever. In this new model, it's going to operate more like how higher levels of technology assimilate information, where all these things are coming in to our field of awareness at one time, and we're making decisions about what this is at such a fast rate that literally third-dimension brain cannot function at that level. And so we're having to reprogram the whole construct, the whole syntax for how we are in the world right now and even beyond the world that we know, because that's where we're headed. I know that was a lot of sort of, you know, perhaps a way that it's a lot of information coming out, but that's what's coming through. When they do a reading, as I said, you could dissect that reading for years. And even as I'm talking, they're sending stuff that I'm learning as I'm listening to you as well.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, I love it. And I'm so grateful to just have been put in such a place to have met you and to know you these many years. For our listeners out there who don't necessarily know how far back we go, you and I go back to 1998, in fact, when you were initially receiving the transmissions from the grandmothers that you were writing on your wall. And the fact of the matter is, the day I met you, we went to your home, and I had the chance with my very own eyes to see these amazing diagrams and information that you were receiving scrawled all over the wall. You know, it was very fascinating in that sense. And it looks like we may actually have a caller here, so I want to make the line live and see, indeed, if the caller is online with a question or a comment. Caller, are you there?
Hi.
Good evening. You are on Sound Synchronicity. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, yes. My name is ZB. I'm calling from California.
Oh, well, welcome to the show. You're on the air with Audrey Scott Williams.
Okay. How are you doing, Queen Williams?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm doing blessed. I'm beautiful. I'm tuning in, and I'm absorbing all that you said. First time I've heard anybody really go in depth on the paradigm shift. And my main question is, you know, the dimensions that you talked about and how they are kind of like funneling information down to us for the shift. High dimensions as much as, 9, 10 dimension and higher is coming down into this paradigm as we upshift to higher dimensions. Is there really any limits, or are we able to shift from fifth dimension or even higher? What connection does the pyramids of Giza have in this, other than energy grids? Are they also able to do the same thing as the diamond?
Excellent. How are we doing on time before I start answering? So I know what's the short term.
We have about 7 minutes, a good seven
okay.
minutes.
You interrupt me if it gets really long. In terms of your first question, how I would answer that, given the time that we have, is that if you think of the universe, which we perceive as being unlimited, infinite, and all of those things, and you think of the diversity of creation, it, then you begin to understand that we only give numbers to dimensions in this reality, which is more third dimension, because that's the only way we can understand it. As we move to this quantum level of interacting with the universe and knowledge, we don't operate so much on a time-space construct that makes us want to label and create. And so our capacity to function at infinite dimensions is available. However, it's like a child learning to ride a bicycle. Some people can go quickly, and others will need to take their time. And so, but yet it's all happening at once. So having said that, I wanted to say that that's why often that we are receiving information and yet our that can guide us at a quantum level. And yet our society is still basically the old construct. And so it's put labels on what's acceptable, what's, you know, what's okay and how it's okay for us to be. Not really encouraging higher dimensional thinking, because higher dimensional thinking will make most of our systems extinct. We'll go to a whole nother level of systems based on relationship versus systems based on hierarchy. Having said that, to get quickly into your other question about the Pyramid of Giza, there are landmarks around the world, and the Pyramids of Giza are a very important one, because their energy goes up into the star system and pretty much behind the Orion family. You'll find a birthing place of the stars. And so if you'll just to go with me here on that, that birthing place of the stars is actually the beginning of the seeding of the carbon principle on the Earth that has led to the form, incremental evolution of the carbon seed that gave rise to the Earth and that has birthed us. Now, if you were to look at a pyramid and the construct of a pyramid, and if anybody out there wants to correct me or challenge me, it's an upside-down tetrahedron even in itself. And so if you look at it, it's kind of an upside-down diamond construct that has a pattern, if you will, of energetic lines that's very similar to the same thing I talked about with the diamond. So you can even transport right through some of the legions among how the tetrahedrons and octahedrons and so forth, how they all come together. We have pathways out of that right back to the stars, back to the central star system and beyond. So that's a really quick answer to both of your questions, but I think it will allow the answer to unfold to everyone who's listening.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you, caller. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Synchronicity. We love our family out in California. You in the Bay Area or L.A.?
Yeah, I'm in the Bay Area. We're spread out. Very few of us really are prepared for this. But I do appreciate that. Is there a website or anything way we can, contact?
Sure.
Well, I was going to say, Audrey, do you want to give your website, please?
Sure. We are repopulating the site now because we finished the walk. So you can go to my site, Audrey, and that's A-U-D-R-I, AudreyScottWilliams.com, and that will have, just some general information. We also have NowTimeProphecies.org, which we will be coming up live with our new Quantum Leap Transformational Center, where we are doing workshops, retreats, but also exploring new technologies that are being channeled in and creating prototypes and experimenting with some of the biospheric information that's coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
So now time for AudreyScottWilliams.org and AudreyScottWilliams.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Carla. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned.
Thank you
so much. Peace. So, Mama Audrey, I wanted to also make sure listeners knew about the shows here on Now Time Radio. Peace Talks is Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Time. Is that still going on?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So right here on Now Time Radio every Friday at 12 noon, and then also Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Wednesday evenings. Is that correct?
That's right, at 9 o'clock.
Okay, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And then I also understand there's a new show on the station as well.
Yeah, we have a new show, Makua, that goes on the airs on the first Thursday of every month. And this is called Seven Generations and Beyond, and it's where it gives the young people an opportunity to have a forum. And so we have a couple of hosts that we are preparing to take over the show by the first Thursday in March. We're looking at a young man out of Chicago who's about 12 years old. And,
wonderful.
Yeah, and I think he's going to do a great job. And so as soon as we are ready and they feel confident, and I'm saying by our goal is the first Thursday in March, the young people will be speaking to us about peace and all of these things that we talk about at their level of understanding. And we'll even have some elders with them time to time, you know, to share together.
Oh, I love it. Well, I tell you what, I definitely want to have you back on Sound Synchronicity in the near future, because I think this conversation deserves many shows. Obviously, you're sharing some very advanced information for many listeners out there, and certainly myself included. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. And I look forward to learning more from you as it relates to what the grandmothers are transmitting to you, because I certainly recognize the importance of the time, and I love the fact that in quantum reality there's only one nest. And I really appreciate that insight that you've provided this evening. So thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And with that, I want to certainly encourage people to tune in to Peace Talks every Friday at 12 noon, as well as Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. So thank you again for being on the show tonight.
Thank you, and thank you for all the great work. Your show is great, and it's just important to get it out into the sound waves, and it travels on its own farther than we could even imagine. Thank you.
Exactly. And speaking of ascension, I'd like to go out tonight on a song that you channeled the music for, entitled Ascension, in fact, from a CD project a number of years ago called Invitation to Spirit. So we wish to thank and acknowledge the Grandmothers of the Four Directions as well for continuing to inform us and lift us up, that we may raise our consciousness. As it is said, that truly everything which ascends must converge. And your discussion tonight has certainly helped bring that into greater focus. So with that, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Sound Synchronicity right here on Now Time Radio, and enjoy this instrumental piece entitled Ascension, channeled music by Audrey Scott Williams. Peace and love to all of you in Lakesh, Alakin, Ukin, all across the planet and beyond. Be well, be good to yourself, and be good to one another. Namaste.
You are listening to Sound Synchronicity.